Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends. We are thankful that we can continue together with the study of the Gospel of John, Besorat Yochanan in Hebrew. And here we are. We have arrived to the 9th chapter, and we are going to read today from verse 24 to the end of the chapter. In that 9th chapter, we have learned thus far that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, was passing by, and as he was passing by out of the temple, we find out that there was a man that was blind from his birth, in which the Lord Yeshua the Messiah healed him. And in this 9th chapter, we have once and again one of the miracles that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, have done while in the land of Israel. He have already changed the water into wine, John 2. He have already healed the ruler's son, John 4. He have already healed the men in John chapter 5, the men that needed to be able to walk. He have already fed multitude in John 6. He also walked on the sea at the second part of John 6. And here in the 9th chapter, he healed the man that was blind. And we are right entering into this same event that occurred there as he passed by. He went out of the temple, and as he was passing by, that man that was there was blind from his birth, and Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord, have healed him. And then we could see that during this event, we can see how the time of the healing was on a Shabbat day. The conflict was with the religious leaders. But at the same time, we can see how this man was growing in appreciation, even as the events occur there, in knowing who Yeshua Jesus is. And so we have covered the first 23 verses of John 9, and I would like to read for this ministry meeting from verse 24 to verse 41. Then again, called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eye? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him, and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God speak unto Moses, as for this fellow we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why? Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Yeshua said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Yeshua said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Yeshua said unto them, If ye were blind, ye would have no sin. But now ye say, We see, wherefore your sin remaineth. And I'm going to stop here in verse 41, beloved brothers and sisters, of John chapter 9. This chapter is extremely interesting because of the fact that we see the progress in the life in a short period of time, life of this person that was blind from his birth. To remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that in this Gospel of John, throughout the whole Gospel, we are being once and again challenged with the importance of believing in the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and that believing that he is indeed the Son of God, Ben HaElohim. You remember what we have already read throughout the study of this book in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Son of God, Ben HaElohim, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Believing in the person and the work of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is the main theme of the Gospel of John. But even more, to believe not only for the fact that he is the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christos, the Messiah, but that he is the Son of God. Once and again, we have this expression, the Son of God, Ben HaElohim. And this is what the Apostle John emphasizes in this ninth chapter. So we have covered the first 23 verses. We have learned already so that from verse 1 to verse 12, we saw how Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, healed that blind man. He was blind from his birth. He told him to go to the pool of Shiloah after he spat on the ground, made mud out of it, put it on his eyes, anointed his eyes with that clay mingled with his spittle, send him to the pool of Shiloah in Hebrew, sent in the English Siloam, in Hebrew Shiloah. He went, he washed, and he came back seeing, according to verse 7. He went his way, therefore he washed and came seeing. And from there on, if you remember, there was a deliberation concerning the way in which the person that was once blind received his sight. The question, of course, that the neighbors and those around asked him, how were thine eyes open? And he began by saying, a man that is called Yeshua made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Shiloah and wash. And I went, and I washed, and I received my sight. Then came the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were not happy because Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, have done it on the Shabbat day. And while the Shabbat was given for our people of Israel to enjoy and to have fellowship with God, with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Shabbat day was a Shabbat in which day good could be done. While God did not want Israel to do any manner of work on the Shabbat day, but to heal a man that was blind is not work. Is a blessing for the man that was blind. And so the Pharisees were not happy that he was healed on a Shabbat day. And then they began to challenge these men. And some of them, according to verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Shabbat day. And you see the accusation that Yeshua did not keep the Shabbat day was wrong. He did keep the Shabbat day because he is the Lord of the Shabbat. He gave the Shabbat, but he healed on the Shabbat day. And the Shabbat day was given to the people of Israel to enjoy fellowship with God, to enjoy to serve God, to enjoy to worship God. And if you remember, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, we do read that Yeshua said, the Shabbat was made for men and not men for the Shabbat. Therefore, the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam, the Messiah himself, is Lord also over the Shabbat. Lord of the Shabbat. Adon HaShabbat. And therefore, the accusation was wrong. And so, from there on, they began to challenge the blind man, and they said unto him again, what sayest thou of him that he has opened your eyes? And you notice now the progress. In verse 11, he said a man that was called Yeshua. But now in verse 17 of John 9, he said he is a prophet. Hu Navi, he is a prophet. And from there on, we could see that there was fear because the leaders would put those who will believe in Yeshua, the Messiah, if they will believe in him, they will put them out of the synagogue, according to John chapter 9 and verse 22. And even the parents were afraid because they would be sent out of the synagogue if they will believe that he was the Messiah. Well, the parents directed the Pharisees to their son. They said, he is of age. Ask him. We know that he was blind, but now he can see. So now in the next verses, in verse 24 to verse 34, we see the additional progress in the man that was once blind. In verse 24, the leaders called once again the man that was blind. And you notice what we read here in John 9, verse 24. We read, they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now notice that. They said this, give God praise. And then say that this man is a sinner. And they wanted the man the blind man to say that Yeshua was a sinner. But you see, my dear friend, how can they say that Yeshua was a sinner? He was the sinless one, the undefiled one, but they sought to find fault in him. And so we read, he said, verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I do not know. But then notice one is this amazing statement. One thing I know. I do not know whether he is a sinner or not. Of course, he was limited, to remind you, my dear friend, that a blind man, like many, are limited in their understanding of who Yeshua was. And they were puzzled concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Who he is? Is he indeed the Son of God? Is he indeed the creator of the universe who came into this world and took a union humanity with his divine nature? They were limited with their understanding. So this man only said what he did know. He said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. Maybe he was a good prophet, maybe he was a good rabbi, maybe he was a special man, a unique man, but he did not quite see yet, because the Spirit of God had to reveal this unto him, as the Spirit of God has to reveal this to any one of us, who Yeshua is. But my dear friend, the important thing to see is that he said what he did know. And that's why he says, one thing I know, that once I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. Isn't it true, my dear friend? We were all blind spiritually. We all did not know who Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah was and is. We were also all blind to who Yeshua, who Jesus is. But one thing we do know, each and every one of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, that one thing we know, that once we were blind spiritually, but now we know that he is the Messiah indeed. We can see, we can understand. The Spirit of God unfold the truth to us, and we can see and acknowledge that he is indeed, truly, the Messiah himself. So he said, one thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. That expression, one thing, is very interesting, because the expression one thing is suggests the fact that he knew in his own heart that Jesus, Yeshua, indeed is the Messiah. One thing he emphasized on the fact that he knew who Yeshua was, that he was definitely this man that is called Yeshua, that he was definitely one that was sent by God, because he said he was a prophet. And now he's saying, one thing I know, I was blind and now I see, and an ordinary man could not do such a thing. And he knew this in his heart, that he indeed was the one that healed him. It reminds me of the psalmist of Israel, David, who said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, one thing have I desired of my heart, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David said, one thing I desire. This man said, one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. And this is important, beloved friend. It is important to emphasize what we do know and what the Lord did reveal to us. This is important to emphasize. That's what he does. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in the Mashiach Yeshua. See, here is individuals who knew what happened to them, and they are emphasizing that to others. And that's what this man that was once blind, he said, one thing I know. And can you imagine? He knew very well where he was before he received his sight. He couldn't see anyone. He couldn't see his parents. He couldn't see friends. He couldn't see even his home. He couldn't see even what he ate. He couldn't see the land of Israel. He couldn't see the temple in the city of Jerusalem. He couldn't see anyone around him. All was for him before dark. And now by God's grace, God opened his eyes through the person of Yeshua the Messiah. And he's saying, one thing I know. That I was blind, but now I see. That's what happened to a person who also became a believer. When people ask us, why are you changed your life? What caused you to read the Word of God? What caused you to love God? What caused you to change your life? What caused you to believe in Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah? Well, we were blind, but now we see. While the God of this world has blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel should shine unto them, God graciously open our eyes spiritually and help us to recognize who Yeshua, Jesus, truly is. One thing I know, that where is I was blind, once I was blind, but now I see. What a wonderful a testimony we read here from the person that was blind. He told them the truth. And so you notice what happened? The leaders ask him again, how did he open your eyes? What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And if you remember, already in verse 10, therefore they said unto him, how did your eyes were opened? These neighbors ask him in verse 10. In verse 15, again, the Pharisees also came to him and they said, how did he receive his sight? And then a little bit later on in verse 19, we read, and they asked them, asking the parents, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then does he now see? Everyone asked, how did it happen? How did this happen? How wonderful that this happened because Yeshua, a man that is called Yeshua, he made clay, he anointed mine eyes, and he said unto me, go unto the pool of Shiloh, wash, and I went, and I washed, and I received my sight. John 9 and verse 11. And now here the question is being asked again by the leaders. And so notice how interesting. In verse 27, he answered them, again, notice that, I told you already, but you did not hear. And then you notice what he said. He said, oh, wherefore would ye hear it again? Why do you want to hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? In a sense, he's kind of challenging them because he's telling them, why do you want to hear from about who and how did he open my eyes? Do you want to follow him? Do you want he to be his Talmidim? Would he also become his disciples? And of course, he was really challenging them. And notice what they said. They said unto him, thou art his disciples, verse 28. Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Now again, remember, beloved friends, they say that they were Moses' disciples. They bring Moses into the conversation once again. And you notice that throughout the Gospel of John, Moses is being brought once and again into the conversation and the presentation of the Gospel of John. In John 1 and verse 17 we read, "For the law was given by Moshe," by Moses, "but grace and truth came by Yeshua the Messiah." A little bit later on, in verse 45 we read, "Philip find Nathanael, and he says unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Yosef." You notice how Moshe is mentioned once and again in the Gospel of Yohanan, John. In John 3 and verse 14, we read, Jesus, Yeshua himself said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Why Moses? Why Moshe once and again is mentioned in the Gospel of John? Well, remember that Moshe was used by God to give to our people of Israel the Torah. And Moshe was a man that was revered and still revered among the people of Israel. He is the lawgiver. And God raised Moshe to give our people Israel the Torah through Moshe. So Moses is an important person that is mentioned once and again, and specifically in the Gospel of Yohanan, because Moshe was the lawgiver, but now Moshe's law was fulfilled in the coming of the Mashiach, of the Messiah. And therefore, Moshe is brought once and again into this conversation and presentation of the divine person of Jesus the Messiah as he was presented before the people of Israel. Notice what it says, "Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galilean received him, having seen all things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast." So Yeshua came again into Cana of Galilee, and he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Kfar Nahum. Now this is in chapter 4 and verse 44 and 45, but I'm going to read John 5, verse 45 and 46, and there we read, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Again, John 5, verse 45 and 46. Again, you see, Moshe wrote of Yeshua. He wrote of me. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not accept Yeshua the Messiah, they will have to face Moses, who would testify against them, as we read here by the word of the Lord in verse 45 and 46. "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." In John chapter 6 and verse 32, once again we read, "Then Yeshua said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." You see, Moshe, in the time when our forefathers were in the wilderness, God used Moshe to instruct Israel concerning the man, the bread that would come from heaven for Israel to be fed by during the journey in the wilderness. But you see, Moses was not the one who gave the bread. God gave the bread. The Father gave the man from heaven. But now the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. Notice what we read in John 7 and verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? Again, Moshe is mentioned in John 7. In verse 19, in verse 22, we read, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Shabbat day do circumcise a man. Verse 23, if a man on the Shabbat day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Shabbat day? Again, Yeshua present Moses in this deliberation with the leaders of Israel. In John chapter 8 and verse 5, we read, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? You remember the woman who was caught, as we read in John chapter 8, that this woman was caught in adultery, and they brought her before the Lord. And again, they using the law of Moses to try to find fault in Yeshua, and Yeshua always gives an answer that is suitable for this conversation. And now, beloved friend, in a Chapter 9, once again, Moshe is brought before the people as they are seeking to accuse Yeshua that he have done something wrong on a Shabbat day. So we read in John chapter 9, verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The men answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. He is challenging them. He says, look, you don't even know where he is from, and yet he was the one that opened mine eyes. He is challenging the Pharisees who were not happy that Yeshua opened the eyes of this man. And you can see, my dear friend, the opposition. Once and again, the opposition and the leaders bring Moshe into the conversation again and again and again. And while God used Moshe to give the law to Israel, but the law was given to the nation of Israel to lead Israel to the Mashiach, to the Messiah, as Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us very clearly. The Apostle Paul reminded the Galatians when they asked the question, wherefore is it serves the law? What is the law serving for? Well, it says here in Galatians 3:19, it was added. And why it was added? Because of transgression. And it was added because of transgression temporarily until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. The law was handed over to Moshe through the angels, but the purpose of the law is to lead the reader, the people of Israel, to the seed that would come. And here is the seed of the woman, Yeshua the Messiah, who is there in the midst of the nation. He healed the blind man. And you would think that they will be so happy to acknowledge that he was the Messiah, to open their eyes, to see here is the Mashiach, the anointed one. But sadly, they were still hardened in their heart and blinded spiritually. And so in verses 28 and verse 29, they are saying that Moses gave us the law, but we do not know who this man and from where he came. Well, the response was, of course, in verse 30 to 34, there is an answer of the man that was once blind. Notice this, verse 30, all the way to verse 33, we find out the answer of this man. He was once blind, now he sees. He said a man that was called Jesus, first. And then he said he was a prophet, secondly. But notice now how he's progressing in his appreciation of who Yeshua truly is. In verse 30, he said, the man answered and said unto them, why? Herein is a marvelous thing. You do not know whence he is, and yet he opened mine eyes. How is it possible? If you are the spiritual leaders, you don't even know who he is, and yet how come he opened my eyes? You could not do so yourself. How come he did so? He continued, notice, in verse 31, he says, now we know that God heareth not the sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, he will hear him. You see, they wanted him to acknowledge that he is a sinner. But he understood that he is not. He says, we know that God does not hear sinners. He is not going to do for sinners who live in rebellion against him. He is not going to do for them as they pray for things they would like God to answer. He says, no, God does not hear sinners. Now, God does hear sinners who repent. God does hear sinners who confess their sins. God wants sinners to repent and to turn to him in prayer and receive forgiveness of sins. But sinners who live ungodly, God is not going to answer their cry and their prayer in order for them to continue on in their own way. So he says, we know that. He's saying this is a fact that God does not hear sinners. But if this man be a worshiper of God, and any man be a worshiper of God, God does heal him. So we see, notice that, since the world began, it wasn't heard that any man opened the eyes of one that is born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now notice this expression. If this man was not of God, he could do nothing. Therefore, the man that was once blind recognized that Yeshua is of God. Because if Yeshua was not of God, he could not do nothing. Very precious, beloved brothers and sisters. Here you can see the development in the understanding of this man that was once blind. Verse 11, a man that is called Jesus. Ish Hanikra Yeshua. Verse 17, he is a prophet. In Hebrew, Hu Navi. In verse 33, you can see the progression. He said if he was not from God, he could not do a thing, but he is from God. Ha'ish hazeh hu me'elohim. He is indeed from God, because if he was not from God, he could not do nothing. The progress that we can see, beloved friend, in the appreciation of who Jesus the Messiah is, by that man that was once blind. Oh, how sad we find out that in the next verse, in verse 34, very, very sadly we read, they answered and said unto him, thou art altogether born in sin. You see, my dear friend, now they are accusing the man that was once blind, who received his sight after many, many years, we do not know how long time he was blind, He was blind from his birth. And now that he received his sight, they were not happy with it. And because he received his sight on the Shabbat day, through the healing of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, they were very angry and very unhappy with it. And now that this man is appreciating who Jesus is and not accusing him of being a sinner, they are even further unhappy with him. And so what do? In verse 34, they answered and said unto him, "Thou was altogether born in sin." You know, my dear friend, it's true that he was born in sin, but you know, my dear friend, you and I, and every person that was born into this world, we were all born in sin, In fact, David, the king of Israel, had this wisdom from God and understanding from God that he was born in sin. David says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." My dear friend, this is so important for anyone to understand. See, this was the problem of the Pharisees, because they didn't think of themselves as born in sin. That's why they're accusing him, "You are all together born in sins." And therefore they were blinded to the fact that they themselves are born in sin, and they are sinners themselves. You see, Isaiah himself, in the 6th chapter of his prophecy, when God was calling him to go and to serve him, Isaiah said, "Woe is me," Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, "for I am an undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, my dear friend, this is so important to understand. A person that wants to know God must come to the point that he or she recognizes that "I am undone by nature. I am a man with unclean lips. In sin did my mother conceive me." This is the truth with respect to every person that was born into this world. And yet they accuse him and they said to this man that was blind, once blind, "You are altogether born in sin." This is important to recognize that, yes, he was born in sin, but then all of us are born in sin. All of us are born in sin, my dear friend. That's why we need to recognize this. Notice what Iov said in Job 14 and verse 4. "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one." Not one, Job said. Nothing clean can come of us who are all unclean, my dear friend. And that's what the Pharisees needed to see. And today as well, anyone who claims to want the will of God, to want to be right with God, he or she, whatever condition we find ourselves in this world, every people, tongues, and nation, we all are sinners by nature and need forgiveness from a holy and a righteous God. We read in Psalm 14 and verse 2, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Notice what the answer is. Again, David says that. In verse 3, we read, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." They are all workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. They in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. But notice, he continues in this very same psalm to emphasize the fact that all are workers of iniquity. There is no knowledge in them, and they do not seek, they do not call upon the Lord. In fact, in the same Gospel of John, we read that men love darkness rather than light. This is the human condition. And here they are blaming this man that was once blind, who recognized that Yeshua was that man, that Yeshua was that prophet, and that Yeshua was a man that came from God. And they tell him, "You are all together born in sins." You know, the Apostle Paul was also honest enough to recognize his own condition, where he himself said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. And we can go on. Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." My dear friend, this is so important. And while they accuse this man that was once blind and saying to him, "You are altogether born in sin and you are going to teach us." And you notice what they did? According to John 9 and verse 34, they cast him out. They cast him out. And that is, they cast him out. And if you read it later on, they cast him out of the synagogue itself. We have already read it in verse 22. We read that they have said that if any man did confess that he was the Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue. And now they cast him out. Now imagine how much he felt. He was so happy that he received his sight. He was so thankful that he could see his parents. He could see his relative. He could see his people. He could see his home. He could see things that he could have never seen before being born blind, as we read in verse 1 of John 9. Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And now finally he can see. And now, because he could see physically, and now his heart and mind and soul can see spiritually who Yeshua is. Look at the consequence of this. They put him out. Very, very sad. If you will notice a little bit further on in John chapter 16, we read in verses 1 and 2, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." And you notice that in every generation, including today in the church age, when people who sincerely turn to the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, acknowledge him that he is indeed the Savior, the Redeemer, many are being sent out of their home, out of the so-called groups of people who do not want to hear concerning the person of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And indeed, this is very, very sad, but they cast him out. Why they cast him out? He may have been out of the synagogue, but he immediately finds himself in the presence of his Lord, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And how wonderful to see that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Amazing. The love of God towards those that follow after him. Well, In these last few verses, from verse 35 to verse 41, we can see, beloved friend, how now we see, you might say, the ultimate, the rise of this man from only seeing a man called Yeshua, then recognizing him as a prophet, then recognizing him as indeed a man that comes from God. And notice as we are drawing now towards the end of this ninth chapter, he would now recognize that Yeshua, Jesus, is indeed the Son of God. He will recognize that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God, Ben HaElohim. And I love these verses because these verses really touch our hearts. Touch our hearts. Because faith in the God of Israel, in the God of the Bible, faith in the God of the universe, faith in God's Son is not a religion, but a relationship. A relationship would bring us in to be with God for time and for eternity. And here, notice this. In verse 35, Yeshua finds this man that was just cast out. And now he is reaching to him, touching him. And notice, we read in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. What do you think? He going to leave him alone? Do you think he's going to leave him alone when he was cast out now that he was blind and now he received his sight? Do you think now he's going to leave him alone? No, he's going to take care of him. When he understood that they cast him out, he found him. Notice that. When he seek for him, he find him. And he's now speaking with him and he tell him, do you believe on the Son of God? Notice, he doesn't tell him, do you believe in Yeshua the man? He doesn't tell him, do you believe on me, Yeshua, as a prophet? He doesn't say to him, you believe in me, Yeshua the man, who is a prophet who has come from God. But he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? Remember, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, that the whole purpose of the Gospel of John is emphasizing the necessity to believe that Yeshua is the Son of God. As John 20 verse 31 said, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Not only that he is a man, but that he is the eternal Son of God. Do you believe on the Son of God? And notice their response. Notice the response here that we have here in verse 36. He answered and he said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I think it is very beautiful that the man is saying, who is he, Lord? Notice the Lord is drawing him to learn that he is indeed the Son of God. That he is the Son of God. And that's why he asked, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? You see, the Lord wanted to expound, to explain to him that the very man, he himself is also the Son of God. Now, it is important to see this, my dear friends, that throughout the Gospel of John, we could see emphasis on the fact that one must recognize that Jesus is much more than just another man. In John 1:34, we read, and I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. In John 1 and verse 49, Nathanael answered and says unto him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Atahu ben ha-Elohim, Atahu melech Israel. And we can read on and on throughout the whole Gospel of John, you are the Son of God. And that's why the Lord asked him, do you believe in the Son of God? And his response was, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And so Yeshua declared right there and there to him that he was the one that is the Son of God. And so we read here in the next verse, in verse 37. And Jesus answered him, Thou hast listened. Thou hast both seen him. Now he can see the man that was once blind. And it is he that talk with you. You have seen him because he's the one that gave you the ability to see. And now not only that you saw him, but you are also speaking with him. Doesn't it remind us of John 4 and verse 26, in which we read, Jesus answered and said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he, the Messiah, to the Samaritan woman. And here to this man that was once blind, he says, you not only see him, but the one that talk with you, this is he. You see him and you hear of him and you hear from him. In verse 37. So look, in verse 38, the man that was once blind now is confessing the fact that he believed. And you notice this expression, Lord, I believe. And notice, he worshipped him. Now, my dear friend, listen. If the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, was only a man, he would have never allowed this man to worship him. Because men ought not to be worshipped. But we can learn from this passage that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is more than just a man. And therefore, he worshipped him. And when he worshipped him, as in Hebrew, the word in Hebrew in verse 38, it says, Vayishtachavelo, Vayishtachulo. That means that he prostrated before him and worshipped him as the Son of God. This is so precious, my dear friend. Can you imagine to worship? Now, let me remind you that Yeshua did accept worship. The reason that he accepted worship is because he is divine. If he would not be divine, he would never accept any worship. And the very fact that he accepted worship is simply because of the truth that he is a divine person. He is a divine person. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, we do read that every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, and every tongue that shall confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, as we find that he is God who became a man. He became a man and humbled himself and went to death. And then verses 9 to 11, God exalted him. And we read in verse 11 that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is fascinating. This is amazing when we really think about it. So he received worship because he is divine. He is God the Son. And that's why he received worship. He allowed this man to worship him. In Titus chapter 2, we read in verse 13, we read, notice this, it says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is God and our Savior. That's why he can receive worship, because he is divine. The writer to the Hebrew believer said in Hebrews chapter 1, we read in verses 1 and 2, that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto us, and to spake unto our fathers in time past by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. Well, God created the world. And here we have God the Son as man, whom the man that was once blind, he fell at his feet and worshipped him. I like to remind you that Peter, in Acts chapter 10, and verse 25 and 26, he did not want anyone to fall and worship him, as we read, when Peter came to go, went to Caesarea, we read it in Acts 10, and as Peter was coming to Cornelius, there Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But look what Peter does. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And he continued to speak with him. Peter did not allow this man to worship him. In Acts chapter 14, we also read about the apostle Paul, when these men in verse 11 on thought that he was, they called Barnabas and Paul Jupiter and Mercurius, and you remember that they wanted to worship them. And what did we read? Paul said, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and we preach unto you that ye should turn from these," mainly idols, "vanities, unto the living God, which have made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all the things that are therein." So here we learn that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, received worship from these men that was once blind. Now he sees. When he recognized that Yeshua is the Son of God, he worshipped him. And so we find out as we continue on, in verse 39, we read that Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and the day which see might be made blind." You see, the thing is that this man believed, this man worshipped, and Jesus said to him and to those around, he says, "Judgment I came into this world, for judgment into this world, that they which see not," like that blind man, who initially didn't see, like you and I, who initially did not see spiritually who Yeshua is, but he came to open our eyes that we will see. But those who claim to see and think that they are right, religious men, religious individuals, religious people who claim to know God, but in reality they don't, and they reject Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, they will be ultimately blinded by the Lord, that they might be made blind. You see, God will ultimately harden the heart, blind the eyes of those who claim to see, and yet they reject God's word and God's anointed one. And so, beloved friend, today it is very important. Anyone who thinks that he knows God and do not recognize that he or she are sinners, and do not repent and accept the grace of God through the person of Yeshua the Messiah, they will find themselves one day under the judgment of God. And yet God does not want it. He loves humanity so much. He wants all men to come to him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to the knowledge of the truth. But if one thing that he or she see, and that they do not need God's way, God's anointed one, they will ultimately will be judged by God, as Yeshua said, "For judgment I'm coming to this world, that they which see not," they spiritually do not see as yet, "but that they might see if they open their hearts and they acknowledge their sins. And that they which see," those who claim to see, "that they might be made blind." Like Pharaoh, when God said to him, "Let my people go," Pharaoh hardened his heart to the God of Israel and did not let the Hebrews go out of the land of Egypt. And God again says through Moshe, let my people go. The God of heaven, the God of Israel said, let my people go, Moshe said. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And as Pharaoh hardened his heart and hardened his heart again and again, then God eventually have hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh could no longer, even if he wanted now, to let the people of Israel go, God have hardened his heart and brought judgment upon Pharaoh. And beloved friend, this is such an important truth to understand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Open your heart to God. Recognize that God loves you and he wants to provide for you salvation. Do not harden your heart. And so, look what we read here in verse 40. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, are we blind also? Notice that. Are we blind also? And look at the answer of the Lord. This is the last verse of John chapter 9 and verse 41. We read, Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say we see. Therefore, your sin remain. You are saying that you see. See, if you were blind, honestly, do not see, do not understand, do not grasp this truth, then God can speak to us, speak to men, open their hearts, help them to understand the things of God. But now that you are saying, oh, we see, and you don't, we know God, and you don't, and you reject the offer of salvation, then you will find out that ultimately you, your sin of unbelief will remain upon you, and you will ultimately be judged by God. Listen to this verse that Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans. Notice what we read in the book of Romans. We read in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. They have conscience. For God has showed it unto them. They also have not only conscience in verse 19, but also in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. God made the creation, the star, the moon, the suns. He made it so people can see that there is a creator. But he also gave us conscience, and in every one of our own conscience, we have a conscience which is the red light which shows us that we are not right with God. And then on top of it, when you have a religious group of people, whether it is of Israel or whether it is of the professing church or in the whole world today, religious individuals who claim to know God, and yet rejecting the truth of the person of Yeshua the Messiah, they will ultimately will find that they are wrong, and they will be eventually they will be judged. As we read in verse 41, Jesus, Yeshua said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, you see, therefore your sin remaineth. My dear friends, it is essential to be like that one that was blind. You and I are by nature blind spiritually, but God knows it. And he loves you, he loves me, he loves us. He knows that we are blind spiritually, and he wants us to see. So in order to see, we have to come to the end of ourselves to recognize that we are sinners, that we are not right with God, and that we need help from God, and we turn to Him, read His Word, learn from Him, and see the fact that He loved us so much that He was providing for us the Redeemer. If we will come to this point, we will have this appreciation like this man. First, he recognized that Yeshua was a man that is called Yeshua. The word Yeshua in Hebrew means salvation. Then he recognized that he was a prophet. Then, later on, he recognized that he was a man that came from God. And finally, he recognized that Yeshua was the Son of God, Ben HaElohim. How wonderful to see the spiritual appreciation of the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah by this man. May the Lord help you and me and all of us to grow, to appreciate more and more who Yeshua Jesus truly is, and to realize once and again that He came for this one express purpose, that He will lay down His life, that He will fulfill the promise of God and die as a substitute for the sin of this world. May God help us all to turn to the person of Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. Well, God bless you, my friend. May the Lord encourage us all and lead us on. And I will say to you, Shalom. Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.